The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Friday, the 19th of March, 2021. On the podcast today, Chris Richards, CEO of Planned Healthcare, explains what the $10 million they've raised will be used for and how they accelerate their growth. Also on the podcast, Mark Epstein, CEO of Mobile Streams, discusses their business model and recent contract win. Also, Francesco Gardin, Executive Chairman and CEO of Clear Leisure, talks through their plans to become a cryptocurrency miner with a difference. And at the end of the podcast, of course, I've got two lists for you. The top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most read RNSs too. By the way, you can see both these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk, where you'll see lots of other content. In fact, there's an article there on Arden Partners. There's one there on Futura Medical. There's one on Renewron. There's also an article on Extract Resources. Plenty more there. And of course, check out our COVID-19 index. Biggest riser there today is 4D Pharma, up 6% to 136.8. Biggest fall is Biotrol. That's down, was that 5% to 5.7. And you can check that out at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Chris Richards, CEO of Planned Healthcare. PHC is the ticker there. Chris, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Justin. Good to be with you.
Yeah, you're a company I've watched. I've had them on my watch list for quite a while because I think you're in a very interesting space, and it's only going to get sort of more interesting, I think. But you've recently raised some funds, and we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about what you're doing next. But for people not familiar, Chris, with Planned Healthcare, can you just explain or summarise what the business is all about, please?
Absolutely. Planned Healthcare is about cost-effective products for sustainable agriculture. Agriculture is moving more towards sustainability. The global demand for biological solutions, which is what we sell, is growing by 16% a year, and we are right in that sector. I'd like people to think about us in terms of our commercial business, which now stands on its own feet. It's profitable and cash generative and poised to grow much faster. But I also want investors to focus on our really exciting new generation pre-tech technology, which we call vaccines for plants.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds very interesting. So take us through. You just raised $10 million. How do you intend to invest those funds, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, as I mentioned earlier, our commercial business is now profitable and cash generative. So it needs to stand on its own feet and doesn't need further outside equity investment at this point. However, our pre-tech vaccines for plants has huge potential. And when we sat down as a board a few months back, we said, look, we simply don't have the cash reserves to be able to exploit that platform to the full. Now, we've invested more than $20 million over the last year, in the last eight years in pre-tech. And the exciting thing is we've got our very first launch of a product from the pre-tech platform, which is in Brazil and in later this year. But we've got a huge pipeline of products in the US, other products in South America and in the US, which we want to bring for the benefit of growers to help mainstream farmers be more sustainable. And the big opportunity for us is Europe. Europe is the largest market in the world for sustainable agriculture. And frankly, we do very little in Europe at the moment because we haven't had the money. So now that we've got this additional funding, which we've just raised, we're going to be able to accelerate the development of pre-tech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you seem to have a strong positioning in sustainable agriculture. How can you justify, validate that going forward there, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really good point, Justin. Lots of people make claims about sustainability. Why do we think we're justified in saying that? First of all, our products are classified, for example, by the Environmental Protection Agency of the US as low toxicity and zero residues, which is quite remarkable. And they are intended to help mainstream farmers reduce their use of pesticides which are great products. I spent many, many years selling them, but they are toxic. So it's great if we can reduce the amount of pesticide being used. And in the European Union, for example, there's a new framework called Farm to Fork, which mandates a reduction in agrochemicals. And so farmers are really desperate to reduce the amount of agrochemicals they use. But I just want to spend 2 minutes, Justin, telling you about our really exciting new product in Brazil, which we recently named Saori. Now, Saori is going to be sold from later this year into soybeans in Brazil. There are 38 million hectares of soy in Brazil, world's largest producer. Commodity prices are very strong just now. And those farmers spend more than $2.5 billion a year on fungicides to control disease. Disease can be devastating. Now, what Saori does is it's really simple. When the farmer plants his seed, he includes Saori in his normal seed treatment regime. So it's something he already does. And what we've observed, and we've got fantastic demonstration plots all across Brazil this year, is first of all, the plants come up taller and stronger. They're more vigorous. And that also means that they're more able to withstand stress like drought. But very, very excitingly, we've confirmed that soybean seeds treated with Saori result in soy with less disease. And that means that the farmers potentially can make a significant reduction in their fungicide applications, which benefits both the farmer in terms of economics, but also the planet in terms of sustainability, and allows the soy grower to produce more yield with less damage to the environment.
Yeah, very interesting. Okay, cool. And just going back there, you said that the commercial business in plant healthcare will stand on its own feet from now on and show accelerated growth. So how are you going to achieve that, Chris?
Well, we were very pleased that although revenues were quite modest in 2020, $6.6 million. Nonetheless, the commercial business made a small EBITDA and it was cash positive. And the additional growth, the acceleration in growth we expect over the next few years comes principally from three very large markets where we only launched the product 2 years ago, Harpinar for beta, which is a very, very exciting product. Now, those are, first of all, Brazil sugarcane. There are 10 million hectares of sugarcane in Brazil. We trebled our sales there in 2020, and we anticipate further growth. We see that midterm as being a $15 million opportunity. The second one is U.S. corn, where again we launched in this case in 2019, and we nearly doubled sales in market in U.S. corn. And we expect that trend to continue, particularly right now with the very strong price of corn in the market. And lastly, also in the U.S., through our very strong partner, Wilbur Ellis, which is a $3.4 billion distributor, selling to fruits and vegetables right across the U.S., where sales doubled last year. Mm. So we expect continued growth in that crop and those crops as well. So I hope you can see that in those three major markets where we've got very strong distribution partners, Harpinar for beta is now well established. Farmers are beginning to adopt it, and that should drive revenue growth and further increase consistent profit and cash flow in our commercial business over the coming years.
Yeah. And talking about coming years, you're planning to invest heavily in the Pretec peptide platform. What can we expect to see happen over the next 2-3 years with Pretec?
Well, Pretec is really, really exciting. I've already talked about Saori in Brazil. But PHC279, which is the same active ingredient as Saori, we've applied for registration in the U.S., with the Environmental Protection Agency, and we expect registration in the middle of next year. And then we're working with a very strong partner, Wilbur Ellis, to develop the product for fruits and vegetables in the U.S., and we expect several product launches to occur after the registration. So that's the first immediate target. But then Pretec, the vaccines for plants, are much more than about PHC 279. We've got a whole pipeline of blockbuster products. The next one out of the traps, which we're very excited about, is PHC-949. PHC-949 has a completely different technical profile from PHC-279. It goes for soil pests called nematodes, and we are getting control of those pests equivalent to toxic chemicals, which is quite remarkable. So we're going to apply for registration with the EPA in the middle of this year, and we expect to get registration about 18 months after that application. But we're also working with a new partner in South America, right across South America, in major crops with 949. And then on top of that, there's the opportunity in Europe, which will be a bunch of different crops right across Europe. So there's a lot that we're going to be doing with Pretec over the coming years.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Chris, every day on the podcast I highlight the top five most followed companies, and to get on that list, of course, people have to hit that follow button. So if someone's listening right now, likes the sound of the progress you're making, but are not yet following the story, please give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button and add Plant Healthcare to their watch list, please.
Well, the first, watch our growth in revenue from our existing commercial business over the next 2 years. Secondly, the really exciting Pretec launches in Brazil this year and the US next year. And thirdly, although we're going to be investing additional money in developing the Pretec platform, we are determined to make this company cash positive as quickly as we reasonably can, so that the company as a whole stands on its own feet and starts to generate profit for shareholders. And I should say at the end that I myself have invested my own cash in this. I hold 1% of the company, and I stood my corner in the last round. And the whole management team is very, very committed to this. The management team of Plant Healthcare came with me and also invested in this round. So our interests are very much aligned with those of the shareholders, Justin.
Excellent stuff. Chris, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Indeed. Thanks, Justin. Appreciate it. Bye now.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Mark Epstein, CEO of Mobile Streams. MOS is ticker there. Mark, thanks for joining me.
Great to be here, Justin.
Yeah, and I'm sure a lot of people know Mobile Streams, and but maybe not where you've come in and you're transforming the company. So tell us a bit more about Mobile Streams as it is currently, if you could.
Yeah, thanks, Justin. So basically, myself and some other members of the new management team came in to Mobile Streams around December 2019. Mm-hmm. And previously, sort of legacy business had been a content gaming delivery business.
Yeah.
It's been going back about 15 years. But it was sort of, you know, slowly going down. And we saw the opportunity to come in, rescue it. It was actually going to be delisted. So we saw an opportunity to save the company for shareholders, come in and save it, and reinvigorate the business with an entirely new business model. And so whilst it had been doing content delivery for around 15 years, we then had a technical platform that could deliver great content and marketing insight. And we wanted to take all the learnings that they gained from doing 15 years of content delivery and add that to our technical platform and launch what's now known as the Streams platform, which delivers marketing insight, content insight and analysis, and also publishing. And so we basically came in December 19 and set to work transforming the business and rebuilding value for shareholders.
Yeah, yeah. So this Streams data platform, explain for people, for lay people who don't understand what you mean by that, data insights and all that. Can you explain, you know, what that means and who it's for?
Yeah, for sure. So so basically there's two sides to it. There's an enterprise version and a cut-down content version. It's aimed at the small to medium enterprise market. It's aimed at companies that don't have a large marketing department. They might have 1 to 4 people, one great person, a few up-and-coming people, but fundamentally it takes them ages to find and put out content every day, which is getting more and more important. There's over 36 million SMEs in the US and the UK. You know, 72% use social marketing. Content marketing is getting bigger than ever. And so all of this requires time, effort, and energy, which, you know, think of COVID, all the small businesses that have started up. People just don't have that time. They just want to do deals. So we've created a platform to slash that time. You can do it in a fraction of the time. It shows you what content is working for your business, for your industry, across all the social platforms, and then it enables you to get great insight and find out exactly all the details of that content. And then more importantly, you can also publish that content. And I'll come on to all the software development we're going to do. But basically, it helps small to medium companies very, very quickly find the content that's working and then utilize that to help grow their own business. The enterprise version is a much broader product that has an extreme range of data visualization, and that's been used by clients like the National Emergencies Trust. Data has been used by government departments as part of the COVID response. And that's a vast, vast platform that offers additional functionality.
Understood. And you announced recently a major contract. Can you explain what that's all about, please?
Yeah, so we've been extremely busy, actually. So we launched, just to take you back a little bit, we launched the enterprise platform in June 2020, and that's really been going well. And then we launched the cut-down content platform around mid-October, and we've had a huge take-up of customers. I mean, beyond our expectations, we've been really, really pleased. And that's led to a massive pipeline of people we can convert and upgrade to the enterprise version. And we're just beginning now to see the results of that. And the deal with Quanta is our first in what, well, I don't want to go too far, but first of what people should hopefully see as many coming of that size and stature, if not greater, where we're taking customers that have come in through the entry point of the cut-down content platform, and we're upgrading them to the larger SaaS version. The beauty of the deal with Quanta is that not only, obviously, is it a great deal in terms of it's a £500,000 deal almost, but basically it also has the option and the possibility to really reinvigorate, actually, our legacy business that's still there ticking over. But through the iGaming portfolio that Quanta has, we think there's an enormous opportunity to drive, well, I don't want to say words like massive, but significant revenue through that business. And people should see this as just the sort of a starting point, just sort of kickoff. We've had 178% revenue growth over just this quarter alone, and we're really motoring now. So this is a really sort of like the touch paper deal, and people should watch this space.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Okay, and what's your vision for the future then, going further down the line then, Mark?
Well, we've been very busy this quarter. So not only have we had exceptional growth, not only have we signed this great deal, but we've also launched the Chinese version of the platform. We've launched into China, got a great partner out there, and we've seen enormous interest. And now our job is basically to translate that interest and to get that out there. So we've got a large pipeline of potential customers. We've got customers onboarding all the time. And so we're looking at growing in China. We're looking at bringing out a Spanish version of the product. And what we're looking at doing now is, well, basically our largest problem at the moment is customer demand. So we're looking at significantly, increasing the rate at which we onboard customers from the content to the enterprise platform. In addition to that, there's going to be a lot of product development. Mm-hmm. So there's three sides to our platform. There's the sort of the search, the insight, the intelligence side, and then there's the publishing side. So you can find content, see what works, and then publish it. There's going to be a large upgrade to the search side of the platform over the next quarter, and a massive upgrade to the publishing side. And that's going to introduce a whole different way to publish everything from email to social postings. And what these additional pieces of functionality are going to do, and not only are they going to meet the demand we've got, but they're also going to offer us the opportunity to reach a wider audience. And I think more importantly, potentially for shareholders, allow us to introduce higher price points for these different packages and charge more for the product. So people should expect to see a lot to come. We've already entered one market. We've had a great response from China, loads of onboarding going on there. And people should be looking to see us enter other territories, massive product improvements, higher price points to come, and a lot of news flow.
Cool. All right. Well, listen, Mark, every day in the podcast, I highlight the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. And in fact, I've seen Mobile Streams on that list. In fact, it is on that list today. So, but to get it higher up the list, if you could, three bullet points quickly now, why someone should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
Well, we've still got a very low market cap, so this is a massive, massive growth opportunity. There's likely to be huge news flow going forwards. And we've got a massive pipeline of product and client development. So watch this space. And I'll just add, similar companies to ours, one like Brandwatch in the social listening space, it's just been sold for almost over $400 million. So there's plenty of potential for us to increase in valuation.
Wow. Are you seriously thinking you're going to get that high in valuation, Mark?
Well, it's funny because somebody was talking to me the other day, because the Brandwatch deal was done, and it set an interesting sort of benchmark in the industry. And someone said, hold on, this is where they were, you know, a few years ago. And I said, well, yeah, and so my answer was, well, look, obviously that's where we're aiming. But there's no reason why not. And of course, we're into other territories as well. And with all the possibilities we've got with the gaming side of the business as well to reinvigorate that, why not?
Mm-hmm. Marvelous stuff. Mark, thanks for that. And hopefully we'll catch up in the not too distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Francesco Garland, Executive Chairman and CEO of Clear Leisure, that's CLP ticker. Francesco, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me.
And it's very exciting to get you on, because I know a lot of people talk to me about the stock when they first came on the market, and the share price jumped up with a bit of excitement, and so in a very hot sector. Now, before we talk about the business and get into a bit more detail, could you just summarize briefly what Clear Leisure is about, please, Francesco?
Yeah, I mean, Clear Leisure emerges from a very heavy legacy of litigations in Italy, which we sorted, but we have definitely turned the page, and we can finally look at the technology future of the company, because we raise funds. We have the ability to raise more if needed, because we have very loyal shareholders with capacity to invest in the company. I mean, Mr. John Story just joined and invested $1 million. And we have historic shareholders who have been supporting the company throughout the years and are really thrilled to be able now to invest not in lawyers, but in technology. And we are now finally in the position when we can deploy our capacity and knowledge about technology and take full advantage of this unique position where we are.
Yeah. Well, in fact, explain that. So like you say, you've got the money, you've raised about £1.6 million. So you're looking at a cryptocurrency sort of data mining strategy. Could you explain that? And I mean, I'm sure some people understand it. I'm sure others don't. Can you just explain what you're going to do?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically very simple. It's running an algorithm and running faster and cheaper than the others. It's like a car racing. The only problem now is that most people buy the car, the same car from the same maker, a large Chinese company, and buy petrol at basically the same cost. So this is a race where who wins get a price, but you have to deduct the cost of the petrol you spent from the price. So it's of paramount importance to have a car which is faster, but if everybody buys the same car, it's kind of difficult, and buy energy or petrol cheaper. We want to get out from this box and basically approach the problem from a different perspective. And we don't want to buy the car from the same maker. We want to build our own car. We may buy cars from the same maker, but that's not the key. That's not the core of the strategy. We definitely want to look at faster cars, which are not available on the market, because if it's going to be a race, we need a faster car. As far as energy is concerned, we have considerable experience. I've been person of the board of a renewable energy company in Italy for 5 years to access hydroelectric renewable energy. So whatever we will mine will be green bitcoins. And energy for hydroelectric power station can be extremely cheap under the right conditions.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose if you're talking about, I know as the analogy is talking about fast cars there, there's no better fast cars than Italian fast cars. So,
among the best.
Yeah. So explain this. So you say most, if I'm understanding this, you're saying most, you know, Bitcoin, cryptocurrency miners are buying their hardware from a Chinese setup. So they've all got the same hardware. Some differ in the power that they get because, of course, it's very power hungry. But you're saying you can build your own or you're going to get some better hardware and also run on cheaper power. Is that right?
Yeah. These are the two variables that you can play with, but definitely what will make a huge difference. I mean, buying cheap energy or accessing cheap renewable energy is already a major advantage. So you could use the standard hardware that everybody is using and have a higher profit. But I think that the real key approach is to have faster machines. And luckily, my background started with my thesis in designing a computer many years ago. So we do know quite well about hardware, about chips, and how to design them.
Okay. So have you already built these machines, or are they going to production? And what stage are you at?
Well, building the machine is not something that you can do overnight. Mm-hmm. We can certainly buy the best machines now, but to build a machine takes time. However, there are already special machines available. You need special skills to use this machine, so it's not something that a normal programmer could program in a matter of a few weeks. But given our background, the academic world, we have access to the best expert for special programming around Europe.
Yeah. So what are you doing? So you buy machines from somewhere else, then upgrading them in some way. How does that work?
You can design your own machines. You can use machines which were not intended, very fast machine not intended for mining, and you can adapt them for mining. There are all sorts of different approaches to this problem, but definitely the winner is going to be whoever has the fastest machine. And we refuse the logic of buying the same machine as everyone else is buying from the same maker. We will do it partially, but that's not the long-term game that we want to be in.
So, let me get this clear. So at the moment, are you going to buy machines in, or for the short term, and then transfer, you know, to your own machines you've made, or are you just going to start with your own machines after a while?
We buy the best machines available, and we will use the cheapest renewable energy possible. At the same time, we are working on getting access to much, much faster machines. So it's a parallel approach where we can mine as anyone else is mining and I get access to very cheap energy. But at the same time, we are making sure that we can access the fastest possible existing computer on planet.
Understood. And so why are you confident then, Francesco, that you can, you know, you and your team there can produce faster machines and get access to lower power than anywhere else? What are your advantages and why are you confident you have these advantages?
Oh, because, I have a background of more than 30 years in advanced computing and programming, theory of computing. So in the end, mining, like Bitcoins, is a SHA-256 algorithm. And the whole point is to run it faster than anyone else.
Mm. But you can do this? You're confident you can do this?
That's what we're here for.
Okay. And so as far as power, there's been a lot of criticism about, you know, cryptocurrency mining and the amount of electricity it uses and the fact it's not sustainable. So how do you intend to access lower power? Because I know a lot of big industries or big mining operations are located in the far reaches of the globe to access cooler sort of climates. And so how can you get cheaper access to power?
Yeah, we've been offered to move operation to Chile, to Tasmania, to Georgia. all these places where you can get cheap energy, but you get some logistics problem and other risks. Whereas if you link your mining facility directly to the hydroelectric power station, then you bypass the grid, which is already a huge advantage in terms of tariffs, and you can buy very, very low-cost energy in quantities.
Yeah, okay. So if you could, Francesco, give us a timeline of what you expect to see happening with Clear Leisure over the next maybe 6 to 12 months and when you maybe hope to start producing.
In terms of production, that's the easy part. I mean, weeks. We have a facility in Serbia, as you probably know. We just decided which machine to place there, replacing the existing machines, which currencies to mine. But I mean, the traditional production is the easy part. Is the alternative, innovative production, which is the less easy part. It's a game which it's clearly between 6 and 12 months. But the point is that if you succeed in this game, then you are the best miner on planet.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvelous stuff. Okay. Every day on the podcast, Francesco, I highlight the top 5 most followed companies to get on that list. People have to hit that follow button. So give us 3 reasons why someone should hit that follow button and add Clear Leisure to their watch list, please.
Okay. Green reason, because we will be mining with renewable energy. Second reason, because this sector of cryptos and blockchain is one of the sectors, emerging sectors, which will basically be the reference sector in technology for many years to come. And because we may have a totally disruptive approach to this mining sector, which could really make the difference.
Excellent stuff. Francesco, good to chat to you. And hopefully we'll catch up in the not too distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, it's time for the top 5 most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at 5, Path Investments, up 11.3% at 0.295. At 4, Mobile Streams, up 12.7% to 0.355. At 3, Webis Holdings, up 1.2% to 4.15. At 2, Supply Up Me Capital, up 5% to 0.59. And at 1, Futura Medical, up 108% to 37.5. Okay, it's time for the top 5 most read RNSs. They are as follows. At 5, Arc Minerals. Block listing. Boring. At 4, Extract Resources. First drill assay results. Bush Ranger Project. At 3, Powerhouse Energy. Placing of shares. At 2, Canadian Overseas Petroleum. Cancellation listing. And at 1, Supply at Me Capital. Transaction update. And pretty much the most liked as well. In fact, Trident's most liked. Powerhouse. Most liked, really. 40 Pharma. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.